All right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Nice to have you with us. We're looking at 2 Corinthians, as I hope you know by now, although I do digress from time to time. Let's see. Let me bring the right ones here. We're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I gave you 5 this morning. If somebody needs 4, raise your hand, and I do have some copies here. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. As I was one.
I know, I do have it in the car. I was wondering if I should run and get it.
Yeah, that's all right. You want 4?
It is.
Sure.
Anyone else need 4? Hopefully we're just going to finish up with that and then get into 5. I don't know, it seemed like a good leading to do 5 after 4. Everybody awake this morning? Okay, let's have a word of prayer and we'll take a look at the scripture. Heavenly Father, thank you for the rain. Thank you for the change of seasons. And we thank you that you give seed time and harvest and rain and sunshine, and it's all in your hands, and we thank you for that. And Father, we pray this morning that we would understand your word a little bit better and just love you a little bit more. Pray that as we study that we'll learn principles that will help us to study your word more and to get more out of it. We're thankful for the scriptures that tell us to meditate in the word of God. We're not wasting time when we take time out to read and to study and to meditate. You know, Psalm 1 says a godly man meditates on the word of God day and night. He's eating it and meditating on it, thinking about it. He or she and can grow spiritually that way, Lord, to have a deeper understanding and appreciation for all that you do. Lord, as Paul said, who is sufficient for these things? So we ask the help of the Holy Spirit this morning to open our hearts and minds, to warm our hearts, and to reinforce our wills to follow you. Thank you for this church and each one in it. And we pray for all the services today and all of God's people that we might be edified and built up in our most holy faith to the glory of the one who paid it all and who rose from the grave in a real body and is coming again, perhaps even today. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're looking at chapter 4. It would really help if I had my glasses. We're looking at the tail end, of chapter 4 here. He said. Oh, okay. Let's pick up with verse 13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. That's the God-given authority of every believer to speak the word of God. I believe, therefore I can speak. So that's the same spirit of faith that was in Paul and the apostles and passed on to us. We also believe and therefore we speak. Some have said that nobody can question your testimony. If you're trying to witness to somebody and you give your testimony, that's your story of how Christ found you, and nobody can change that. Well, in some ways, it's very true of the Word of God, too. Nobody's supposed to change that, and we're to receive that. So Paul says in verse 14, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. In some ways, that's already happened. You know, when God laid out what he's going to do, it says about him that he is the God who calls things which are not as though they were, and that's because they're going to be. Another passage in Ephesians tells us that we're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It can't be more secure than that. So there's no way that a believer could suddenly be ripped out of there because he's already placed in there by the body, by the Spirit of God. You know, when Jesus' disciples came back to him, he sent them out to announce the kingdom had come to Israel, and they were to go to every village, and you know the story, I hope, and if they were received, that was fine, stay wherever they were received. If they weren't received, shake the dust off your feet. He said it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than some of those cities where he had arrived and announced his coming kingdom, which they were supposed to receive then, and we know that they rejected him. Yeah. Well, this is a testimony that you'd been there and you were breaking fellowship with them, if you will, and they had missed their opportunity. That was the idea.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, some people in towns could have personally received the message. But here's the point I wanted to bring out. When they come back to Jesus, they're excited and they say, "Even the devils are subject to us in your name." And he said, you know, sometimes we think if we get some kind of accomplishment for God, we've arrived. But this is what he says. Don't rejoice in that those accomplishments, even though they're great. But rejoice in this, that your name is written in heaven. See, your name is written in heaven, will never be removed. I like to think, and it's only a, you know, supposition of mine, I like to think that our names are written in blood in the ledgers of heaven. Because that's what it took to get us there. And so you are secure. And there are many things that mitigate against you feeling secure and believing that you're secure. But the number one thing is the Word of God against all other flags. That he said that if you have received me as your Savior, then you belong to me and you are part of the body of Christ. And you will not be forsaken. So, picking up again here, this is chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. So Paul lived his life for Jesus, no question about that, but he lived it for the church. He at one point he says that my blood is poured out over the church. He didn't mean just his alone, but his personally blood was, you know, he gave his life to get this message to us, and so that we could have this grace too. And then verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. Why do we not lose heart? Go right back to what we just read. You know that this is a done deal, that you're saved, you're secure. All those insecurities that kind of build up in our life need to be washed away again in the truth of God that we are His forever and ever. And then he says, even though our outward man is perishing, you know, another place he compares our physical life to a tent being folded up. I like to think that's why you see these wrinkles, you know. you ever see a tent being folded up, there's a lot of wrinkles, right? Okay. But guess what? We've got a new body that we're going to, right? Like his. So even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Let me ask you a question. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't even have to answer. Are you being renewed day by day? Is your mind being renewed by the Scriptures? Remembering what's happened here, that this is what we see as invisible that other people can't see. We have an invisible God, if you will. It was made visible by Jesus. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. That's what God is like. They tell about men dying on the field during the Civil War. More people killed in that war at one point, I don't know, all the other wars. And a lot of it was just when a bullet, that ball went into them, it carried pieces of their clothing. And of course they had nothing to fight infection with. So, you know, and that's what killed more people that way. But it was the ones on both sides would minister to anybody who was dying, didn't matter which side they were on, and they would risk their lives to do that. And they were instructed to help the men. You know, they're facing death, they're afraid, they might even be a Christian. And yet the idea was, let them see that Jesus is God. And many of them would find peace that way. Oh, it's like Jesus, you know. What a name above all names. A name that brings comfort to the heart of every believer. Jesus, because that speaks of his humanity and he's a mediator between man and God. God is totally righteous. We are not, except that now that we're born again, we are righteous in his sight because he's given us his righteousness. Plus, we're a new creature, but we still need him as a mediator. That's what he's doing right now. He's praying for the church, not with the idea that, I hate this teaching, because this is what some people teach. Every time you sin, you know, Satan runs up to the Father and says, oh, look, he's sinning. Or he sinned. And then Jesus comes and shows his hands, look, Father, I died. Like God didn't remember? I mean, come on. You know, God knows everyone who belongs to him. And I got to tell you this, according to 1 Timothy, I believe it's 1 Timothy, it might be 2 Timothy, there are some people that don't know they're saved, or they've forgotten that they're saved, and yet the Bible says, Paul speaking to Timothy, the Lord knows them that are his. Now, it's great when God's people know that they belong to the Lord, and that's what we should aim for. We want that assurance, because that assurance helps us to walk as God would help us to. And we find joy in service, amen? And we're renewed in our mind. So don't let things build up in your life. Stay renewed in these truths. These truths are invisible, but they're written so that you and I, who have new eyes and new bodies and new minds, we don't have new bodies yet, but we got new minds. The old mind was pretty bad, so it's a good thing we got new minds, right? So that we can follow this truth and be renewed in it. You know, my go-to verse when I'm down, and I do get down, and I do get anxious about things. And I, you know that pastor that just got released from jail? People have been reading about that. He said something great. I heard him being interviewed. Oh, he said a lot of great things. But you know what he said? They said, how were you treated in the jail? Because you look pretty healthy. You know, and here you are in this awful jail, and we would think that you would. And he said, you know, the first few months that I was there, I didn't know if I was going to be shot from day to day. And he said, I was afraid. And so he didn't eat. He was nervous. I think he helped more people by being open like that. You know what? I was afraid. I was under this tremendous tension. But you know what it made him do? He dove into the Word of God, and he got closer to God. And you should hear his testimony. It's really good. Because he got a bigger picture of God's love and his power. And that's what sustained him. You know, there was a young man over at, it's not quite as dramatic as that, but it's still the same principle. This young man at the jail, he actually killed another young man, and that's why he was in there. It was self-defense, and they came out in that trial and so forth, but nevertheless, he did go to jail. And while he was in jail, they were going to bring him out over to Barnstable to have a hearing. I'm not exactly sure. I mean, I'd already been sentenced and all that. But anyway, he had to go to this hearing, and he knew that some of the friends of the guy that he killed were going to be in the courtroom. So he made himself a shiv, and he hid it in his cast. He had a broken leg, and he tried to hide it in his cast. Because he thought, I'll have to defend myself, you know. And they found this weapon. And so they put him in solitary for a week, which doesn't sound terrible, but imagine being locked up for a week. And the only thing he had was the Bible, and Chaplain Day was able to see him. But he came out of that place with a smile on his face because he got closer to he'd already accepted Christ. But now he had that. You know, when you've got those forced times, you're in the hospital or you're sick or whatever, those are times that, you know, it doesn't look like a blessing, but it can be if we use it correctly, you know. So my go-to verse is in Romans 8, and it's, I like this idea because it doesn't depend on me. It shows that he's above my little faith and my little love and all that. Because Paul says, I am persuaded that neither death, that's the number one fear that people have. And they say, psychiatrists tell us that that fear is under all other fears, you know. So I am persuaded that neither death, no life, no things past, no things present, no things to come. That pretty much covers it, doesn't it? Can separate us from the love of God. There's more to that verse. But what I like this idea. I might be so afraid that I'm not really loving God like I ought to, and it makes me feel guilty. I want to love God all the time. I want to always love him. He is worthy of all our love and praise, and I get that. But sometimes I'm incapable of that. But what I like is it doesn't stop him from loving me. And that renews my love, you know, and revitalizes me, you know, because nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now, this is a huge ocean that we can dive into and experience more of the love of God. You see that? So we need to believe these things. See, when he died, he paid for all of our sin. He made us a new creature in Christ. But we're being developed into that creature that he wants to see. And even these bad things, quote, that happen to us are for our good. And not only that, it's for the good of the whole body. Because as you're blessed, you're going to bless other people. You're going to see, you know, I went through something like that. But this is what God brought out through that difficulty. Yes.
I just want to say something. It's a praise report that after my husband died, I experienced that ocean of love because I was alone.
Yeah.
And it was so fearful for me. And I thought, oh, I'm alone now. I'm without David, you know. But the Lord came in a big way, faithful big way. And I realized that I was alone, but he let me be alone, so I knew I wasn't alone.
Amen. Yeah, sometimes those blessings come wrapped in some pain, don't they? I drove a tractor trailer for a few years, and then subsequently had another job. But in that job, the guy had bought a used tractor trailer to haul away wastewater from the laundry. I won't tell you what happened with that. My goodness, I look back at that now. But anyway, it was a big old Ford gas job. And I was used to driving a truck where when you went into overdrive, you went up. And that was your high gear once you got going. Well, it was short hauls, but so I never really got it, and it seemed like the truck didn't have much power. It was an old truck, you know, but this big old V8 Ford, okay, should have had a lot more power. And what is wrong with this truck? And so I'd sort of putter back and forth to where we dumped this stuff. I won't tell you. It was only laundry water, but anyway. So one day I had to take it a little further. So I'm going to get this thing up to speed. And so I'm got the thing on a floorboard, and I finally figured I got enough forward motion to get it into overdrive. So I threw it up into overdrive. Well, you know what? It was a different transmission, and that was a lower gear, not a higher gear. And all of a sudden, that thing had all kinds of power. So you know, that's a little illustration. There's all kinds of power that God has available. Okay, are you in the right gear? You know, sometimes we got to go into what the truckers used to call low, low. That's about as low as you can go. I hauled riprap to the New Bedford Pier when they built that big breakwater out there. And we had to come out of this pit. And I'll tell you, you were like this. If the thing ever stalled, you'd be going over backwards. It was so steep. But we had it a low, low, and we had a heavy load on this big riprap, you know, that's big, huge stones. And that old, am I going to make it? But sometimes we wonder that in our Christian life, don't we? But listen, God's got a low, low. But he's also got a high gear, all right? There was another truck I drove. I might as well do the truck stories today. It was another truck that I drove. It was an overhead van. It was for Elders and Bourne. And it was an old 51 Dodge. And it didn't have much speed, but it had a governor on it, as if, you know, a Dodge is dangerous, right? But the governor would cut in at 55 miles an hour. Well, getting on the highway, and you'd be going along, that thing was rattling and straining and making all kinds of noises, and you wonder, is this thing going to fall apart? And finally, you'd get it up high enough so you get it in high gear, you hit 55, that thing smoothed out. It was purred like a kitten. What gear are you in today, brother? I'm asking myself that too. Are we in high gear or are we in low gear? Sometimes we got to go low, right? Other times we got intermediate gear. But sometimes, man, everything is. And those are the times when we see Christ clearly, I believe. You know, we can see him all the time and we can be renewed, but you know, it could go with this analogy. You need to refuel every now and then. Sometimes we need to put some new tread on. You get it, okay? But there are different experiences.
Is this in the original text?
Say again?
Is this in the original text?
I'm hearing them, not you. I'm sorry.
I said, is this in the original text?
This is called a window illustration. Yeah, okay. And some very good preachers have said that illustrations are... You know, that's like opening a window, you know, okay. This is a text according to Dennis, right? Yeah. Okay, well, let's get back to some better stuff, right? Okay. So, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now, he's counting on you doing that. You know, don't moan, groan, and complain if you haven't done your part of being renewed. You got to put yourself... where you can be renewed. And that's in the Word of God. Okay. Number one is believe. Always begins with belief. Works follow. Okay. For now, listen. Now think about this. If I wrote this, you know, it wouldn't mean much. But this is a man that's been whipped. He's been left for dead. I love it. You know, they stone him. They drag him outside the city and figure he's dead. He jumps up and he goes back in again. You know, this is Paul, okay? So it means something when he says, our light affliction. I just take a minute, don't raise your hand, and don't volunteer. Okay, so if you volunteer, I'm going to call on you. But don't volunteer. What's the last thing you complained about? You see what I'm saying here? He said... Some of your customers, right? Okay. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. It doesn't feel that way to us a lot of times, right? That guy sitting in the hole there in solitary, it didn't feel like a moment. But compared to eternity, what is it? Okay. And he's doing a comparison thing here. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Okay, now you get that picture, that contrast, right? This thing that we don't like and seems forever and is bearing us down, it said that's just for a moment. It's working in you. See, if it works correctly, it drives you to the Word of God. Get blessed and strengthened, just like that the man who was a prisoner there. I was afraid. I was afraid the first 6 months he hardly ate, and he lost 65 pounds. How many people want to go to prison? No. Okay. But you see what I'm saying. So Paul, with his perspective of what he's been going through, counting on being renewed daily, he said, this is a light affliction, and it's but for a moment. You know, that life itself has often been likened to a blink. I mean, how many of us who are older, where'd it go? You know, it seems like the thing that's really sticking out of my mind is my fourth granddaughter, youngest. She's a sophomore in high school, and she drives a car to school and back every day. And the other three are gone. I mean, they're at school, college, or one's working. It's always good to get a job after you go to school, right? So But this one, it kind of hits me. This is the last one, and she's already driving. And she's got two more years of high school, and she'll be gone too. So where did it go? You know, what is your life? It is but a vapor. Wind comes along, gone. Okay. We need to think like that, but only in the perspective of the Word of God. If you think that way without the Word of God, nothing but depression comes in. But with the Word of God, it's a different story, see? So we want to be renewed. So these bad things that we think are so hard and terrible and we don't like them, I don't like them any better than you do, okay? But God is using those to show us our need of Him and pushing us up against Him, okay? They tell about this guy who's been going to church for 10 years, and nobody ever thought of him as a very spiritual person. It is amazing, I've seen it myself, that people can sit in church forever, and I remember one time we had a men's breakfast, and I was excited about it because I had helped organize it, so naturally I was excited about it. And we had a good speaker. It wasn't me. It was a really good speaker. And I thought it was a great breakfast. So this older man came into the next one. I said, "Hey, how'd you like that meeting we had? It was great, wasn't it?" And he goes, "Yeah, but you know, the food..." The food. He's talking about the food. Come on. And then I've seen other people come in. They just found Christ outside church. And they're all excited. And they dig into the Word of God. And then they look around and they see people have been sitting there forever, don't know anything about the Word of God except one verse maybe. See what I'm saying? Anybody here can go deeper. Do you believe that? Anybody here can go deeper in that knowledge of the Word of God, and knowledge is a precursor to growing in grace. You can't grow unless you know. And God has made it known, and in Proverbs chapter 1, He says, "Turn at my rebuke, and I will pour out my Spirit on you. I'll make you know my words." I will make you know my words. So you have certainty, because it's God teaching you. Jesus said, "I am your teacher." No matter who He uses, He is the teacher. He's a teacher above all teachers. I love it when they went to arrest Him. "Why didn't you arrest Him? Why didn't you bring Him?" And talk to the Roman guard that was given to the authorities of the temple. It was the guard of the temple, but they were under the direction of the Pharisees. "Why didn't you bring Him back? No man ever spoke like this man." They couldn't arrest Him. They were arrested by Him. Okay? We need to pray not only that we'll be doctrinally correct, and I think that's a major thing. I don't care what anybody says. It's very, very important that you know doctrine correctly. Doctrine is like the mast on the ship when there's a storm blowing. You can lash your soul to it. Okay? That's the truth that's going to bring you through. You may not feel very good, and you, all kinds of things, but when you know the truth, you're lashed to the mast, okay? And you're gonna go through that. But doctrine is very, very important. But so too is being filled with the Spirit. So too is being filled with the Spirit. They go together. You know, Paul said, "When I came in at Corinth, I came in there weakness and fear and trembling." But you know what? My words were not words of wisdom. They weren't man's wisdom trying to figure out some way to, you know, argue somebody into something. They were impacted because the Holy Spirit was behind them, and they went into those hard hearts and they changed people. And that's what we need. We need to be filled with the Spirit and the Word of God. And then we're going to be effectual for God in helping people and getting people saved. So don't lose heart. Our outward man is perishing. It's going one hair at a time. Or however it's going, okay? It could go right away. It doesn't matter. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. People can't see the inward man unless they see the outward actions. Amen? Man can only look on the outside. He can't see the heart. But God sees the heart. That's why it says that The Lord knows them that are His. A lot of Christians think they can tell exactly who's a Christian and who isn't. Not necessarily, okay? Not necessarily. If you look, you got Peter at the crucifixion. I don't know the man. 3 times he curses. I don't know the man. Meanwhile, if we backed up a few months, there's Judas. He's the treasurer of the group. He's been with them. By the way, he gave up everything to follow Christ too. You know that, don't you? He gave up everything to follow Christ. The only thing is, he never really believed in him. He was a thief. He stole money from the bag. But it shows the others looked at him as, he's with us. He's the treasurer. We trust him. You see that? By the way, he cast out demons. Did you know that? When they went out with the 70, they had special powers to do exactly what Jesus had done already, to announce to the kingdom, this really is the Messiah. Jews seek a sign. That's how they knew it was a prophet, okay? Judas had a temporary power to actually cast out demons. So let me tell you something. You can be an apostle. You can cast out demons. You can pray. You can be accepted by all other people as a believer and still be lost. Okay? Now, for the most part, I don't think that's really true of people, you know, in the church. But it just shows you, Jesus said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And it says many of his disciples walked away. They said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? See, everybody can get on board and got to be dedicated and medicated and dedicated again, I guess. I don't know. All this stuff about how dedicated I am. No, we want the Spirit filling us and leading us and taking us where He wants to take us and have us saying what He wants us saying. You see that? So Jesus was never fooled by Judas. Never. It says that, haven't I chosen you 12? This is Jesus speaking, and yet one of you is a devil.
Now, do you think during that time that Judas thought that he himself was right with God?
No. I mean, think of it this way. He probably heard every sermon Jesus ever did, probably saw him raise the dead, and he's stealing money. I mean, what does that tell you, you know? But, Jesus, you know, many of those disciples walked away when he made that saying. Because, see, this is something you cannot do physically. You cannot physically eat Christ's flesh or drink his blood. Amen? Now, the Catholic Church wants to make the mass, you know, transubstantiation, it turns into the real. Well, what about Abraham? He never took communion. He never attended a mass. And the Bible says that he was saved. And Jesus said about Abraham, he saw my day and he was glad. Listen, I've seen his day and I'm glad too, you know. And by that I mean his whole day, his crucifixion and his resurrection and his promise to come again. That's something to be happy about. By the grace of God, we've seen that, okay? And we want to keep on being renewed in that truth so that we have this joy that only the Holy Spirit can give in every circumstance. You may be tried. You may be tested. You may have down days. Peter speaks about that. We have this unspeakable joy. Yet for a season, you might be moved away from it because of the oppression, like your muscles are being strained, but there's rest coming, okay? You know, I love David said, when I was in distress, you enlarged my heart. See, that's what people do when they work out. They're stressing their muscles, and so they grow stronger, okay? When I was in distress, would you have chosen to be in distress? No, the flesh never wants to be distressed. But will God put you there? Sometimes he will, but he's going with you. And he's going to allow you to develop your spiritual life under stress. I started to tell the story, but they tell about the guy that was in church for 10 years and nothing much seemed to be happening. Nobody really thought of him as a spiritual person. Nice guy, he's there, but he doesn't, you know, he's not really involved in scripture and that kind of thing, it seems like. And so somebody met him on the street, and he was like he was a changed man. it was like praising the Lord and talking about spiritual things. And that guy says, what happened to you? He says, 10 years in church and 2 weeks in the hospital. Get the message? That which we would not choose will sometimes wind up in great blessing. So that's what Paul's saying here. We don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. A light affliction, this is the guy who's almost been beaten to death as many times, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but things which are not seen are eternal. Now, earlier on he had said, he was talking about the apostles, and he said, death works in us that life might work in you. In other words, he considered himself a dead man for Jesus already. So death is working in him. He said, you know, we face death every single day. And in some sense, we all do. But this is danger that's brought on by preaching the gospel. Now, I'm for anybody who's suffering, okay? But there's suffering and there's suffering. Sometimes you're suffering for some stupid thing you did or sinful thing you did. But then there's suffering for Christ. That suffering for Christ is voluntary. That's never, I don't believe, maybe I'm going too far here, but basically suffering for Christ, really suffering for him, is on a voluntary basis. Jesus volunteered for the cross because he loved us and because he loved his Father and he wanted to fulfill the scriptures. We've gone through that before. So this is the kind of service that God wants, done by the Spirit, voluntarily, out of love. Love for God, but also love for the people of the church in particular, but loving the world too in the right way for their edification. So this is a wonderful thing to keep yourself renewed in the Spirit of God. Okay, let's see if we can get a few things in, because I did give you chapter 5, so I want to say at least I got started on chapter 5. Okay. So, assurance of the resurrection. Do you notice that in the, you might want to do this sometime, take a look at the sermons of the different ones after Christ, like after Pentecost, how often they refer to the resurrection. We've relegated it to Easter, where we're in competition with the bunny. Okay? This is the bunny-free zone, by the way. This is the Jesus zone, all right? Now, and look at Satan. He is so, you know, he wants young people. You know that. He don't want us old dudes. He wants these young people, okay? So what does he do? The bunny. Who could be mad at the bunny? The bunny's cute. You know, he brings eggs and candy. Well, you know, he's in competition with the one who rose from the dead. So let's divert. Let's have a cute little bunny. With a lot of different implications, okay? How about Christmas? You got a lovable old guy. This is the birth of the Son of God. You see that? Watch out for what is saccharine, but is not sacred. I like that. Saccharine, but not sacred, okay? Who's better, Santa or Jesus? Who's better? Jesus or the bunny? Bunny-free zone. Okay, go ahead.
May I make a quick comment?
Yeah.
Just saying that in Germany that the Christ child comes to give blessings and
right.
Presents.
Yeah.
And there is a man who was sainted by the Catholic Church, I guess, St. Nicholas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's a real person.
Yes.
He helped the poor.
That's right.
And needy.
Yeah.
That's why the church sainted him.
Yep. But from that base has spun off this thing about elves and reindeer that fly.
That's not from Germany, though.
My roof can't take it, okay? But, you know, you're right. It does have a basis in truth where there was a kindly and apparently a godly man who gave presents to children. But Satan will take something good and make something evil out of it. So you gotta watch that. So, and then they tell me that there's more money spent on Halloween and it's spent on Christmas. Okay, that's just one indication. You know, little kids drawing horror pictures. I don't know. It's crazy.
I was wondering, do you know where Halloween came from? Was it All Saints?
Yeah, I did research it. I'm fuzzy on it. Let me put it this way. Anything that celebrates demons and blood dripping down and vampires and the walking dead. What is the fascination with the walking dead? Really? I mean, come on. We got somebody who came walking out of the grave in a real body, a glorified body, and I will take him as a walking live one, okay? Yes.
Oh,
yeah, they do. They have celebration of the days of the dead. You know, when Jesus had a young man that wanted to follow him, and he said, let me follow you, but let me go bury my father first. Now, it may have been that the father's not going to die for another couple of years, but he wants his inheritance. That's why he wants to bury his father. And what did Jesus say? Let the dead bury the dead. In other words, anyone who is not following me is dead. You want to be alive? Stick with Jesus. Get closer to Jesus. Spend time in the Gospels and see him working with people and what he's really like. Yes.
I just want to say that for a long time I read this passage, I am the God of the living, not the dead. And I didn't understand it. But a little while later I did understand it, because the living are with him.
That's
and
right.
The dead are not with him.
Right. Well, when God appeared to Moses in the bush, he said, I am the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. And Jesus quoted that to the Sadducees who didn't believe in an afterlife. And he said, he is the God of the living. You're exactly right. And he gave that illustration. If he's still talking to Abraham after he's dead, supposedly, at least physically, must mean he's alive. You know what? You're alive right now forever. Even before you became a Christian, you're going to exist forever. But now you're alive because you're connected with Jesus Christ. You know, Elijah's follower, his disciple, he wanted to do twice as many miracles as Elijah had done. And it was promised to him. Elijah said, if you are with me when I'm taken up, that will happen. And Elijah does everything he can to discourage Elisha. You know that, right? He just, you know, stay here. You stay here. No, sir. I'm right behind you. I'm right on your heels, you know. And so he saw him taken up. And sure enough, he got that same anointing. But you know what? He didn't complete all the miracles in his lifetime. And, you know, as they do with prophets, true prophets, the world doesn't love true prophets. And they threw him over into a pit. Later on, they throw another guy down there who's pretty despised. And he comes in contact with Elisha's bones and he jumps to life. There's life in Jesus Christ. His death gives life. That's the idea. Now, I want to suggest to you, I was talking today about this. This is just, you know, you got to think about some of these things. Suppose the body that falls into the pit next to Elisha's bones, their heads hit, their skulls hit, okay? So some Christians are all brain. Now they know the scripture backwards and forwards. And I think we should aim for that. I'm not against that. But somebody else, their chest hit, so it's heart to heart. And some people won't listen to anything unless it moves them emotionally. I'm telling you some really strong truth here, okay? Pay attention. It's your brain and your heart that invigorate your will to follow Jesus. You get that? See, some people are all hot. I go there because I love the music. Oh, I'm glad we got good music, or they have good music. It's more than that, brothers and sisters. You want to hear the Word of God. You want to really hear it. Because God has equipped you by your new birth to receive His truth. There's nothing to hold you back, okay? Now, He uses people. Okay, but he wants to use you in somebody else's life because you're explaining to them something that you learned. You see that? So we're feeding one another. This is good stuff. You know, we want to be complete people. We want to understand it up here, love it down here, and walk it in shoe leather, right? by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit filling us. We can't do it on our own. If we did it on our own, it wouldn't mean anything before God. There are some guys that can write a check. I heard about this. There's a guy in a church, not this church, but he's a fundraiser. He knows men that he could go to and say, look, we need $25,000 for this ministry. Guy sits down and makes up a check. Is that of God? I don't know, okay? But I'm just saying, if you gave $25,000 and you weren't led by the Lord to do that, I don't think it'd mean a thing. I think it'd make a nice little curl of smoke at the judgment seat of Christ. Yes?
Isn't there a place in the Bible, I don't recall where, but that God even uses the children of this world to for the kingdom?
Oh, I know what you mean.
They get their reward.
Yeah, he's talking about the unjust steward, and what he's really showing is they are smarter than we are in this sense, that they think ahead. See, we only think, and we're prone to only think about now. He said, think about investing in the future. See, when you give money to a mission fund, and you prayed about it, and you know God wants you to support that, that's going to come back. That's an investment. It's going to come back. And you can say the same thing with the Word of God. If you take the seed of the Word of God, and you keep spreading it, and spreading it, and spreading it, you're going to have a higher return than the person that got one seed, and you watch it grow. See what I'm saying? The more seed that you throw out there, the more opportunity that you have of reaching. Our friend Mike Mangum, pray for him, okay? He's been made chaplain of the Onset Fire Department. There were 65 volunteers, and he told me personally he's going to visit every house. Pray for him, okay? Because this is a connection. People are so closed against the gospel today that you try to give them something and they, no, I'm good. But with this opening, brother, you got an opportunity. And we're going to pray for you. And so grateful the way God opened that door. He'll open other doors for us. Okay, we got to close. That's a word of prayer.